All right, a brief thank you to Tanfum Cohen for, on relatively short notice, agreeing to give a shiur to us this evening. I know this is a topic that is very near and dear to Rick Cohen's heart. I just want to thank our sponsors for the shiur and the learning of this week. We thank Jennifer Michael Wiedeker and sponsoring in honor of Rabbi Shalem and myself, and Rivkin David Feldman for Rufu Shalem for Chana Fega Bas Chaya Reza. I said this will be beginning the Simon Bav Dash.
Sure. I'm very excited to have this opportunity to learn together. And when Benji told me that Resh Samach Aleph was the topic of his evening, that was incredibly exciting. For lots of reasons. If you're learning Ali Mishneh Berurah, you're learning for the big Shulchan Aruch, so Resh Samach Aleph is one of the rare opportunities where the Vilna Gaon is uncharacteristically lengthy in the extreme. The Vilna Gaon is known for incredible terseness. It's said that he wanted to step back to the original plan of Torah Shel Peh, Baal Peh, as much as possible, to the extent that he tried to write things as briefly as possible. But every once in a while he feels the need to expand, and expand he does. And the topic that he expands on is incredibly important. It's the sort of thing that seems like it ought to be really simple. And yet it's one of those areas of halacha that, practically speaking, ends up being complex, confusing. So what I'd love to do is demystify over the next couple of minutes. To when we're going to learn? Okay. Over the next 40 minutes or so, to demystify the world of Zmanim, of Vilna Gaon, Rabbeinu Tam, and Magen Avraham, and all those details and versions, and 42 minutes, and 52 minutes, and 62 minutes, and 72 minutes, and what's going on there. Look, the Mishnah Megillah tells us there are many mitzvahs that apply by Yom. There are some mitzvahs that apply by Laila. Yom and Laila are, even from a Chumash perspective, concepts that appear several times in a halachic concept, in a halachic context. Yom and Laila are among the first natural concepts that appear repeatedly in the opening parak of Bereishis. And they seem like they're pretty straightforward. So I know that I shake lulav during the daytime, and I blow shofar during the daytime, Yom Tur Yilachem. I know that I eat matzah and mor at night, Karm Pesach at night, Vachlu Sabasar B'layla. That seems pretty straightforward. Is it day or is it night? Should be able to move forward with that. And yet, when it comes to practical halacha, it seems like there's so much complexity and confusion. So it really starts with the following. Gemara Masech HaShabbos in the second parak. I thought I was taking Masech HaShabbos, but I see I ended up with another Masech with a Beis and a Tafel. No, that's fine. Gemara in Bava Madlikin tells us that, well, when exactly does night start? The second parak of Bava Madlikin is largely about Hilchos Neirus. And from Talmud Bavli and on, Hilchos Neirus becomes one of the main addresses of the discussion of when does night start. Obviously, it's one of the most critically relevant ones, because if you light Neirus after it's already Laila, obviously you're playing with a potential for Skila and Kares. I've been trying the last couple of days publicly to avoid puns as much as possible. I will do that right now as well. So that becomes Rei Samach Aleph. Obviously, we're in the world of Hadlakas Neirus, and here we are with the question of Zmanim. So the Gemara tells us, well, you have to light before night. Mishnayos mentioned specifically you want to make sure that if you're the man in the household, it's your responsibility. One of your many, many, many responsibilities is to keep an eye on Zmanim on a Friday afternoon. And in the gentlest, most, the softest, with greatest finesse, to ensure that everyone is on board, everyone is aware of what schedule we need to maintain. But what is that schedule? When does Laila start? When does Shabbos start? When is that? So the Gemara says, well, Gemara Shabbos says, well, there's a zone of uncertainty. There's a chunk of time, there's a short chunk of time, which you call Ben Hashmashos. And the Gemara says that Ben Hashmashos is Safik Yom, Safik Laila, Safik Yom, Safik Laila, Safik Ben Yom, Safik Ben Laila. So it sounds like it's a Safik whether it's day or it's night, or sometimes there's a third option that maybe it's half day and half night, maybe some point during this Ben Hashmashos twilight period is when we're switching over from day to night. And when does this go? So the Gemara says it's a short chunk of time. A short chunk of time, and it runs until Tzeis HaKochavim, until some stars come out. The Gemara makes Sigal stand until all the stars come out, so two or three Gemara's a discussion. Two stars, three stars, we seem to come to the conclusion that it's Tzeis Gimel Kochavim. Once three stars are out, so that's when Bein HaShemashos is over, and we're in the zone of Vaday Laila. And for a chunk of time, but for a short chunk of time beforehand, it's Safek Yom, Safek Laila. How long is that chunk of time? So the Gemara has the debate about that also, and the Gemara seems to come to the conclusion that it's the time it takes to walk 3/4 mile. Now, as a sidebar, how length translates into time is in and of itself a debate amongst the Rishonim. We usually assume that the time it takes to walk a mil equals 18 minutes. There are other opinions as well, 22 and a half minutes. The Rambam talks about 24 minutes. But let's sort of leave that aside. Let's just work with what we're comfortable with, which is a mil is 18 minutes. That's why we talk 18 minutes by matzah, because the Gemara in Pesachim also talks about kidei hiluch mil. Here the Gemara talks about 3/4 mil, so that's 13 and a half minutes. So that's the Gemara. Again, some variations, machlokas amaram, on the details. Maybe it's a little bit, a couple minutes off of 13 and a half. But let's work with the Gemara seems to come to the conclusion that the period of time which is besafik, which is safik yom, safik laila, is a short interval of 13 and a half minutes, which ends, seems to begin with sunset and ends with Tzeis Gimel Kochav. Great. That seems pretty straightforward. Now the complexity, as Baitosis point out, is there's another Gemara that seems to paint a very different picture. Gemara near the end of Maseches Pesachim says, is talking about the ninth parak of Maseches Pesachim. Gemara is talking about how long would you walk over the course of a day, because for Pesach, the ninth parak is the last parak about Karban Pesach that's specifically dedicated to Pesach Sheni. Psukim talk about if you're too far, one of the reasons why you might have to bring a Pesach Sheni, the makeup Karban Pesach on Yud Dalet Iyar instead of on time of Yud Dalet Nisan, one of the valid causes, maybe you were too far away, you were remote. You were too far away to bring Karban Pesach on Yud Dalet Nisan, Erev Pesach. You're Bederech Rechoka. So that gets the Tanaum and Amram into a discussion. Well, how far is it? How far is far? And that in turn gets into discussion. Well, how far would you, maybe that has to do with how far you could walk over the course of half a day, either from beginning of the morning until Chatzos, or from Chatzos till the end of the day. Okay. And that gets the Gemara involved in a discussion. Well, how long is that? And then the Gemara says, okay, so you walk so many, you walk 15 mil perhaps, from sunrise to Chatzos, 15 mil from Chatzos to sunset. Then the Gemara says, yeah, and it's 4 mil from Alos HaShachar to Hanetzachama, from first dawn, first light until sunrise, and it's 4 mil from Shkia Sachama, from sunset until Tzeis HaKochavim. 4 mil, not 3/4 mil, as the Gemara in Masech Shabbos made it sound. That's a major divergence. Now again, if a mil is 18 minutes, so 4 mil is 72 minutes, which might sound like a familiar number. Again, if you've also heard about 90 minutes or 96 minutes, again, 22 and a half times 4, or 24 times 4, those are going to give you the bigger numbers. So the question is, well, which one is it? Is Shkia to Tzeis HaKochavim, was it 13 and a half minutes, like the Gemara in Shabbos, or was it 72 minutes, 4 mil, like the Gemara in Pesachim? That's a major divergence. That's a problem that Tosus raises. And Ben Tam gives answer to the steer. He gives answers to thousands of steers between Gemaras over the course of Shas. So this maybe is the one with which his name is most famously associated. And Ben Tam says, we got a problem. So what are we going to do? So he says, well, the Gemara in Pesachim says that from Shkia to Tzeis is 72 minutes, 4 mil. So there you have it. From sunset to Tzeis is 72 minutes. I have a Gemara in Shabbos that says I only have 13 and a half minutes, 3/4 mil. It says, no problem. The Gemara was just saying that the period of Bein HaShemashos, the period of Safek, the period which is Safek Yom, Safek Laila, we're not sure what status is, that's a 13 and a half minute interval. But where does that interval, and where does the interval end? Let's say Sakochav. 72 minutes after the sun sets. Oh. So in other words, Rav Anatam says, and we'll unpack this some more, that when you and I see the sunset, it's still daytime. It's going to be daytime for, sounds like again, working with the numbers. We'll unpack the numbers some more. But for now, 72 minus 13 and a half is 58 and a half minutes. For almost an hour after the sunset, it's still daytime. Seems a little surprising, right? But he says, well, the Gemara Pesachim said, it takes a chavim is 72 minutes after the sunset. The Gemara on Shabbos said, you only have 13 and a half minutes of suffix. So it must be that that 13 and a half minutes is at the end of, it's the last 13 and a half of the 72 minute interval. The 72 minutes, the Gemara Pesachim says, from Shkia to Tseis, and Ben Ashmashis is the last three quarter mil, the last 13 and a half minutes. That's the period of Safik Yom, Safik Lai, leading into Tzitzak HaChav. The first 58 and a half, Vadayom. That's the approach of Rabbeinu Tam, in a nutshell. Again, there's more complexity, there's more nuances in the Gemara, but that's really how he puts together a Safik between Shabbos and Safim, and he says we're going to go with Pesach. Essentially, we're going to go with Tzitzak HaChav as defined by Masechet Pesachim, and Ben Ashmashes is the last chunk of that period of time.
That, likes it.
All right, and the truth is, many Rishonim, Mechaber likes it. Mechaber writes in the Beis Yosef. He says, "Look, the Rabban says it. This one says a whole slew of Rishonim follow Rabbi Yonatan." Huh? Right. So this was a popular opinion. Practically speaking, chinks in the armor, and ultimately the Vilna Gaon, as I mentioned, Reish Tamachalev, is the famous Bar Plukta Rabbeinu Tam. Sounds a little strange. You have Machlokas Rabbeinu Tam in the 1100s and the Vilna Gaon in the 1700s. So the Vilna Gaon was reigniting an earlier Shita. The chinks in the armor begin to appear in the modern era with the Shachan Hilchos Milah. The Vilna Gaon is the one who really pushes it through all the way. But the truth of Vilna Gaon is taking us back to pre-Rabbeinu Tam as well. But before we get ahead of how things unfold, and historically, let's talk with a couple of directions in which we want to take this. Number one is just to think of Rabbeinu Tam. Before we get into what this means astronomically and practically, let's just sort of follow the sugya. Rabbeinu Tam had a steer in Gemaras, and he gave it teretz. As I mentioned, the Vilna Gaon has a lot to say. But there are two points that stand out. Two initial points stand out primarily. One problem, as Vilna Gaon says, is hachush machash. Walk outside. And number one, it's really hard to say that almost an hour after the sunset, it's daytime. And what's daytime without that? Al Pidin is day. So you have to ask yourself, like, well, how are you defining day such that that's vaday yom? And then what changed during those last 13 and a half minutes? All of a sudden, well, now we're mesupik whether it's yom or laila. And then after 72 minutes, all of a sudden it's vaday laila. What happened? That's one aspect of problem number one. Again, the Vilna Gaon's kasha was hachush makush. Our senses tell us it's incorrect. Empirical evidence indicates that's not day. So number one, it doesn't look at all like day. Number two, what he means by that, or 1B, if you will, is the Gemara spoke about Seis Gimel Kochavim. So we can debate as what the legal definition of day is, but you can't debate when you see the stars. You walk outside and you will be seeing stars during the time when Tom says it's Vaday Yom, you can count way more than three stars in the sky. So that's sort of the other aspect of the one kash of the Vilna Gaon, which is Hachosh Machash. It just flies in the face of sensory perception. Both to call it day and to say there aren't stars, but go outside and take a look. Again, which is harder for us a little bit because we live with such intense light pollution. But before Thomas Edison, when it got dark, and then the sky was gorgeous. And you didn't have to go to some remote wilderness spot to be able to easily see tens of thousands of stars. So everyone walked outside at night and you saw the stars. That was a natural part of existence. You look up, you see stars at night. You could see lots of stars long before Rabbeinu Tam predicts that we should. So that's what one set of kashas the Vilna Gaon puts forward is the chush makash. Another problem, which Rabbeinu Tam already addresses, which is, one second, but the Gemara said that in Shabbos, that Tzitzak HaChav, that Ben Hashmashos runs Mishatech shachachama, atzeis hachacham. So, you tell me, shkia is when the sun sets, and then 72 minutes later is atzeis hachachavim, but Bein Hashmashos only begins 58 and a half minutes after the sun actually sets. But you're calling both of those points shkia. So how does that work? So that's why the theory around time develops is what's called the shtei shkios. He says there are two different points in time that are called shkia. One is what we usually call shkia, which is when the sun sets, and that so that's apparent shkia. But then there is actually when the process is completed, that's almost an hour later. And it's only at Sof HaShkia, Shkia Shnia, or Sof HaShkia, different terminologies that you'll find, the end of the Shkia process, or the second Shkia, and only that second Shkia, that Sof HaShkia, 58 and a half minutes later, that's when it actually counts La Halacha. But that's difficult. That's very difficult. Okay, with the two Shkias. So it has something to do with, again, with the way the Gemara Pesachim describes the process of the sun setting and then getting behind something. We'll talk maybe a little bit later about what that might correspond to in modern terminology. But again, one issue with Rabbi Tam is Achosh Makesh. Achosh Makesh, number one, how do you define that as day? It's so dark. Number two, how do you say the word pre-Teis HaKochavim? Look up at the sky without light pollution, there are loads of stars. And number three, the notion Rabbi Tam has to put forward that there are two shkias. And then, there's the issue that not only hachush makhish, I could look outside and see that there are so many stars. Vilna Gaon makes a intriguing point. He says, "Remember the Gemara Pesachim I presented? You have, you know, your 30 mil or so over the course of from sunrise to sunset, and then you have you're flanked by four mil." 72 minutes before sunrise, 72 minutes after sunset. 72 minutes before sunrise from what to what? From alos hashachar, from first light until sunset, sunrise, right? So first light means it's just starting to get light. So that means that 72 minutes after sunset is not when you see three stars. That should be when it's, the darkening process is complete. When it's totally dark, that's not going to Vilna Gaon point. That's not going to 72 minutes isn't going to be Seis Gimel Kochavim. That's going to be everything. It's totally dark. You're going to see all these thousands of stars. The by looking at the parallels of the Gemara. So what the Vilna Gaon says, he says no. The answer is not that there are two shkias, which is essentially Ben Tam's teretz. There are two different shkias, and that's how you line up. And that the one that counts as the second, halacha is the second shkia, right on Tom's approach, Vilna Gaon essentially says, no, there's only one shkia. The sun sets when the sun sets. There are two teis hakochavims. In other words, yes, the Gemara and Pesachim delineated a long chunk of 72 minutes from sunset until teis hakochavim, but when the Gemara and Shabbos gave a shorter 13 and a half minutes, those weren't the last 13 and a half minutes. Those are the first 13 and a half minutes. In other words, from when the sun sets until, as the Gemara in Shabbos said, Tzeis HaKochavim means Gemara discussed how many, comes to the conclusion, three stars. So Vilna Gaon points out, three stars is not so dark. Again, it's hard for us to assess, but until 150 years ago, everyone understood that. Three stars means the vast majority, well over 99% of visible stars are not yet visible. So that's early. 72 minutes later, that's when you have Tzeis Kol HaKochavim, which was not, Vilna Gaon points out, is largely not relevant to halacha, but is relevant to the astronomical sketch that the Gemara is giving in Pesachim. So that's the beginning of where you get this question of when is Vaday Laila? Is Vaday Laila 13 and a half minutes after Shkia, 3/4 of a mil after Shkia, or is Vaday Laila 72 minutes after what we call Shkia, observed sunset? And that's, when we talk about Vilna Gaon versus Bein Tam, it really has to do with how do you resolve the steer between these two Gemaras, the Shabbos and Pesachim. Do you look at it as two Teis HaKochavims, the Vilna Gaon's approach, and that the Bein HaShmashos is when you expect it to be right after sunset, or do you look at it as two Shkias? Rabbi Tom's theory, which again, as you pointed out, is the approach of many, many Rishonim. But is very, very challenging to make sense of. Now, before we even get further...
Why is it more challenging to understand that Shkia itself could be a process, and it depends, I could measure it at one point versus another point, versus saying that there are two
Seder Kohanim? Yeah, so...
It just means that each of them is a process, and neither of them happen instantaneously.
So yeah, so the problem is, number one, you have to figure out to what... Part of the elegance of the Vilna Gaon is the Gemara in Shabbos, when talking about Tzitzit Kavim, spends time defining what Tzitzit Kavim means. The Gemara says it. Two, three, okay, three. But the Gemara is clearly talking about Yitzia of some of the stars. And again, the discussion in Gemara, we've shown him about talking bigger stars, little stars take longer. But we're clearly talking about a particular point in the Yitzia of the Kohavim. Whereas the Gemara Pesachim is talking about the end result, which is Yitzias Kol HaKochavim, and that's attractive because, after all, the Gemara is paralleling that to Alos HaShachar, which presumably is first light. So this is the end of light. So the number one, it's elegant in that way, whereas it's harder to find evidence that we mean that there is such a thing as two Shkiyas, and that's what the Gemara Pesachim is referring to. Moreover, the Rabbi Tam is arguing that Seis Gimel Kochavim happens 72 minutes after sunset. And to that, the Vilna Gaon said, but look outside. You're going to find way more than three stars a long time before 72 minutes. So that's one issue. Yeah.
Practical aspect of what according to the Vilna Gaon, what happens in the second? So you can break the 72 minutes into, according to Rabbeinu Tam, 58 and a half and then 13 and a half, or it sounds like, according to the Vilna Gaon, 13 and a half and then 58 and a half.
Right.
So from a practical perspective, what is that second 58 and a half time period? Is it considered day, or is it considered...
For Vilna Gaon?
Yes.
Vaday lai. Vilna Gaon points out the Gemara Pesachim is not a halachic context.
So according to the Vilna Gaon, then Shabbos should end
13 and a half minutes after Shkia.
After Shkia.
Correct. So what emerges now is, apparently, so far what we have is two shitas as to when Shabbos starts and two shitas as to when Shabbos ends. Right? According to Vilna Gaon, Shabbos starts misafek at what we call sunset, Shkia. And the next day, Motzoi Shabbos is over, 3/4 mil, 13 and a half minutes after sunset, Shabbos is over. Again, there's Tosefa Shabbos on both ends, but that's the actual timing. For Rabbeinu Tam, and that strikes us as a little... That's the Vilna Gaon, right? And okay, the Friday piece sounds familiar. Okay, Shkia, so we had 18 minutes before, some Tosefa Shabbos, more or less, whatever your Shia Tosefa Shabbos is, that's their Shabbos, but we're adding on, we're starting earlier than sunset. So that part sounds familiar. But then this, we mean... What's the Shabbos? Shabbos is over 13 and a half minutes. 13 and a half minutes after sunset. That sounds very, very, very surprising. We never heard. It's shocking. But that's what the Vilna Gaon did. But then the other side, number one, to say, Rabbi Tam would say, it's Vada Yom on Friday until almost an hour after the sun sets. Now they say that the Satmar Rebbe, when he first came to America, was indeed driving around. He was being driven around in a car, like 20, 30 minutes, what they say. I don't know if it's true. 20, 30 minutes after sunset, he was driving around because Vadayom. And then they explained to him that in America, we don't say Falabeo Tom, at least not Lakula. So that part sounds very surprising. The end of Shabbos sounds a little more familiar. 72 minutes, it sounds maybe longer than what most of us do, but that race sounds at least more in the zone. So where did what we do come from? What we do seems to be a bit, it's Vilna Gaon on Friday, and then Matzah Shabbos is somewhere in between. So how do you get that? So the Vilna Gaon already points out that, he says, in the course of his comments, he says, you know, all this should vary l'fi ha'ofek. It should vary according to where you are on the globe. Are you close to the equator, or are you further from the equator? And that's going to impact the length of the day. and that's going to impact the length of twilight. So what we're really looking at is how, what the Vilna Gaon indicates, is that what we should look at is not really 13 and a half minutes, but how dark is it 13 and a half minutes after sunset in Yerushalayim, 32 degrees north, roughly. And then let's extrapolate to wherever you might be. And the truth is that Rabbi Leo Levy makes the ha'ara that if you think about zmanim and the different times that we have for different halachos, so zmanim, the way we define zmanim during the daytime, specifically between Harnetzach Hama and Shkia, between sunrise and sunset, we're always looking at Shoah Zmanios. I mean, that's where the Rambam is the first one really to formulate that, and it's widely assumed since the Rambam. And we talk about 3 hours and 4 hours, right, for so Zman Kriyashma, so Zman Tefillah, and so on and so on, Minchah Gadol, Minchah Katana, 6.5 hours, all those hours are assumed from Rambam, certainly from Rambam and on, to be Shoah Zmanios. Meaning we take the time from, let's assume, the Magen Avraham would tweak the following somewhat. Take the time from sunrise to sunset, divide to 12 parts, we call those hours. In the summer, those would be longer. Each hour is longer than 60 minutes. In the winter, each hour is shorter than 60 minutes. And those are proportional hours or, maybe historically speaking, sundial hours. That's really what you're doing. Leo Levy points out, almost all zmana between sunrise and sunset are in sundial hours. As an aside, by the way, just as an aside, once we're on the topic, the way I presented that you divide the time from sunrise to sunset into 12 equal parts, that's the approach to Shoah Zmanios of the Vilna Gaon. The Magen Avraham thinks we should instead be looking at from Alos HaShachar to Tzeis HaKochavim, which is obviously more than 12 hours on an average day. So that means that your Shoah Zmanios in the morning will be earlier than they would be for the Vilna Gaon, and the afternoon will be later. And it's expanding outward on both sides. That's why when you see two different zmanim given for Sos Ma Kriya Shema, Magen Avraham is earlier. See, Bir Chameitz, Achil Chameitz, Magen Avraham is earlier. That's because he has a larger sense of Shaos Manos. I think the Vilna Gaon is widely accepted. It's for several reasons, not least of which is that it's far more likely that you would think about divide from a sundial perspective, say you would divide the time from sunrise to sunset. The rough point that Yartzeit here, sunrise to sunset also is well defined. Alos HaShachar is hard to pin down exactly. Tzeis HaKochavim, as we're seeing, is also hard to pin down exactly. On the other hand, Magen Avraham says it's Yom from Alos HaShachar. Yom doesn't start at Harnetzach Hama. So if we have time, Rav addresses that in a Yartzeit here. If we have time, we'll get back to that. If not, we'll leave it hanging maybe for some other time. But let's get back to our primary focus, which is the Machlokas of Tam and the Grav, and specifically how we actualize, how we actually implement this. So Vilna Gaon says, look, we should be looking at Lefi HaOfek. And as I was saying, Leo Levy points out, Zmanim between sunrise and sunset, daytime Zmanim almost invariably show Zmanios, which makes sense. Or sundial Zmanim, because that's when the sun is out. He points out that nighttime Zmanim, with the exception of Chatzos HaLaila, nighttime Zmanim are all measured by how dark it is. Torah Misha Yakir, Torah Los HaShachar, Torah Tzeis HaKochavim, they're all Shi'urim of how dark it is. Those are all just different metrics. Is there enough light to differentiate colors? Is there enough light? How seeing stars is all a question of ambient light. Chatzos is the only one that's not. Right? Chatzos is the only one that's not, and maybe we'll get to the moment to why that is as well. And Chatzos, as we know, as the Gemara comments, quoted by Rashi in Parshas Bo, Chatzos HaLaila is, even for experts, could be hard to nail down with precision. Because you need to measure from sunset to sunrise, which is not an easy thing without modern technology. Why is that? So we understand well why the Zmanim after the sun sets, before the sun rises, it's a whole lot easier to measure, it's a whole lot more practical to measure by darkness as opposed to measuring Shoah Zmanios. Now, but here's the other thing. It's not just a question of easier. There are different, perhaps the halachah of Moshe we've seen as well. Regardless, it's a you're looking at something else. You're not looking at 16-minute hours, nor are you looking at Shaul's Manios, because darkness is a question of vertically how deep is the sun below the horizon. What's the depression, not psychological, but the geometric, the astronomical depression of the sun below the horizon in angle, in degrees, it's an angle, that's going to determine how dark it is. The deeper the sun goes, the darker it gets. Right? You would have thought that as soon as the sun peeks out of view, it should get sunset, and it should suddenly be totally black. The sun's out of sight. So how come it doesn't get totally black the moment the sun sets? How come it isn't totally black till the moment the sun rises? I think some midrashim point that it's a chesed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we're not, our systems aren't totally shocked by the light and the lack thereof. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up physics and the reality of the Earth atmosphere such that you have a band of a couple miles of air, of atmosphere, that's gravitationally held around planet Earth. And that right after the sun sets, the sunlight is still filtering through the atmosphere and being bent and refracted onto where we are. But as the sun gets deeper and deeper, less sunlight is making it through. Eventually it gets so deep that nothing is making it through. But that's a process of darkening. And then before sunrise, as the sun begins to get above a critical angle, getting closer, we start to have a little bit of light filtering in more and more and more as it gets closer to, and finally it gets to zero or drop below zero, that's when you begin to see the upper limb of the sun, and that is Hanetzachama. So all the Zmanim after sunset, before sunrise, are given not in terms of Shos Manios, of sundial hours, percentages of the time, but rather in terms of darkness. Leo Levy points out if you read the Rambam's Perush HaMishnayos, Rambam, after all, is the first one to directly formulate Shos Manios. He points out, he says he had debate with Rav Kafach, who was the king of retranslating the Rambam of the original Arabic, because the Perush HaMishnayos is in Arabic. And it says Rav Kafach was maskim to him. The Rambam has three different terms for shows. One means shows shavos, 16-minute hours. Another one means shows manios. And a third one is this: the shows that are used when it's dark. Those it's not shows manios. It's angle below the horizon. Derugis below the horizon, right? That gives all three of those play into different shitos in terms of how you look at your zman. So you could just say, look, 13 and a half minutes after shkia. You could say, the Vilna Gaon already tells us, it's not 13 minutes after shkia. You have to calculate for your latitude and for the time of the year. Because of the equation of time, the how rapidly the sun sort of descends at an angle. It doesn't go straight down. But the angle changes over the course of the seasons. So the steeper the angle, the quicker it drops. The shallower the angle, the more gradually it drops. That's why the length of Bein HaShemashos will vary, even in a given location over the course of the year, with the steepness of the sun's descent. And then it varies, depending on how far north or south you go. Now, those who follow Bein HaTam tend to follow just 72 minutes flat, which, again, is very hard to understand. Contemporary posts can point out, the Satmar Rebbe and others point out, why would it be fixed? 72 minutes in Bavel or in Eretz Yisrael, but that will be much longer if you go north to New York, New Jersey. There were some posts who wanted that some of the briskers make it into a Zechzel and Achtel shows Manios, but that too is difficult because we're looking at how dark it is. So Lechora corresponds to an angle. Vilna Gaon certainly tells us that it corresponds to Lefiha Ofik. It's not going to be a fixed 13 and a half minutes. That's why if you look at some Zman charts, you'll see degrees. You might see 4.5 degrees or 6 degrees, 5.95 degrees for Vilna Gaon. And you might see 11 degrees or 17 degrees for Rabbeinu Tam. Now what's fascinating is if you then open up secular astronomy texts, or you look at the settings on some time or astronomy apps, you'll discover that there are, ba'olam, three definitions of Bein HaShemashos. There are three definitions of twilight. There's civil twilight, and there's nautical twilight, and there's astronomical twilight. Civil twilight is when they tell you, is for legal purposes, right? When they tell you that the park closes at dusk, or the definition of burglary changes based on whether, you know, it was by yom or by laila. So that has to do not with sunrise and sunset, but that has to do with dusk, which in this part of the United States is defined as a half hour after, for legal purposes, usually a half hour after sunset, but will be more precisely defined as 6 degrees after sunset. Nautical is 12 degrees. Astronomical is 18 degrees. What do these correspond to? So civil has to do with when there's functionally not a, when it's functionally dark, when it's functionally no longer day. In other words, it's still light out, but you can't really operate the way you can. 15 minutes after Shkia, you can still walk around like it's a little darker, but basically it's daytime. Once you get 6 degrees below, which in this area is around 30 minutes, give or take, 27 to 33 minutes after Shkia, at that point you hit civil dusk and it's no longer functionally day. But there's still light out. Nautical, which is 12 degrees, is when, to the naked eye, there's no light left at all. And that's nautical because that's what the sailors were looking at. Astronomical is when, not only to the naked eye, but even with instruments, there's no light left whatsoever. And that's 18 degrees. And the Vilna Gaon points out, now let's put this together. The Rav discusses Big Adam. We could talk about the Rav's Yard Said Shurim this for a long time, but we will instead talk about them for around 3 minutes right now. So to take one aspect of the gist of what the Rav develops, he points out, going back to the opening Gemara, and then we'll take this back to the practicalities of Rabbi Tam and the Gra and 6, 12, and 18 degrees. So the Rav points out this whole notion, read the Gemara in Shabbat, it says, Safik Yom, Safik Laila, Safik Yom, and Safik Laila. What does that mean? The language mean? I mean, I know that, what does it mean? It's day, it's night, it's both, it's neither. And he points to a fascinating Ritva. Ritva in the middle of the Kachin Prakam Review, I think it's Daf Mem Vav, Daf Mem Zayin. The Ritva is a comment. He talks about Ketorah, Kohen, handling Ketorahs, and he makes a comment that sometimes, you know, you have the what's inside the Kohen's hands, what's outside the Kohen's hands, and the Gemara is a strange language about what's the status of the Ketorahs caught in between his fingers. So Ritva points out the language of Gemara sounds like it's not that, like, we're not sure what it is, but we treat it as a suffix. The Ritva says, yeah, because it's really sort of both. It is inside, it is outside, so we treat it like a suffix. And he says, like Be'anash Mashas. The Rav seized on that line of Ritva and said, that's profound. It's not that we don't know, during the 13 and a half minutes is the magic number. We just don't know how many minutes after Shkia do we switch over. Be'anash Mashas is day and it is night, both. So practically speaking, because it's contradictory and paradoxical, halach, practically speaking, we treat it as though it were a suffix. But it's not like we don't know when day and night transition. We know that they transition both at Shkia and Seis. How could, and that, he points out, fits the language of Gemara and Shabbos beautifully. But except, what does this mean? Well, what's day and what's night? So he points out, well, there's one definition of Yom and Laila in the first day of Bria, there's another definition of Yom and Laila in the fourth day of Bria. Because in the fourth day of Bria, we hear about the sun, the moon, the stars. And we hear about them being koveya yamim. So day is defined by the appearance, the visibility of the sun. When the sun sets, day is over. On the other hand, we've been hearing about yom and laila since day one. So apparently there's a definition of day that's independent of the sun. And what we heard in the first day was Oren Choshech. So what the Rav suggests is there are two ways to define day. Day is when the day is when you see the sun, and day is when it's light. So during Be'anash Mashas, there's no sun, but it is light. So one definition would tell you it's right nighttime. The other definition would tell you it's daytime. So it's both, and therefore, practically speaking, typically, we treat it as a suffix. The Rav points that there are rare cases when we don't. For instance, Shos Manios of Vilna Gaon, he said, why are we only, the Magen Avraham said, how are you only counting from sunrise to sunset? The answer is because when you're trying to deal with things which are precise, quantified, numbers divided by 12, Tzeisa Kachavim doesn't do it, and neither does Al Osa Shachar. You need something which is clear and clear-cut and precise, and that's the rising and setting of the sun. But in the vast majority of contexts, both definitions are relevant, and therefore, Be'anash Mashas we treat as, it is a little bit of both, and therefore we treat it as a suffix. And now let's come back. So the Vilna Gaon, with the Tzeis Gimel Kachavim, what that corresponds to is it's no longer Yom, even from the point of view of Or. Now, what do you mean? There is light, yeah, but it's not daylight. In other words, there isn't enough light to function as though it were It's not functionally day, which is exactly the Vilna Gaon's 5-6 degrees, which is exactly civil dusk. And the Vilna Gaon goes on to point out what Rambam was looking at is really Teis Kol HaKochavim. Teis Kol HaKochavim has to do with total darkness. That's why you see all the stars, because it's total. Not just it's not light enough to function as though it were day, it's totally dark, which is going to correspond to either to the visible eye 12 degrees or 11 degrees, as you'll see in some of the Zmanim charts, or total darkness, even by instruments, which is 18 or 17 degrees. So that's really how everything hangs together. And that's why, practically speaking, to wrap up, our Zmanim, we essentially follow the Vilna Gaon. Rabbi Schefter's Nusach is that even those who keep 72 minutes really are following Vilna Gaon, because you really follow, you really follow Rabbeinu Tam, it's not 72 minutes. 72 minutes Eretz Yisrael, it will be an hour and a half or more if you're further north. So Rabbi Schefter's Nusach is everyone just has different shiurim of Tosefa Shabbos. But even those who say, no, we'll follow Rabbeinu Tam, but we'll assume it's, you know, somehow, for some reason, a fixed number of 72 minutes. But certainly, if you're keeping less than 72 minutes, absent one difficult tshuva of Moshe Feinstein, the assumption is that Teis HaKochavim is a half hour or a little more. You have to figure exactly what your where you think you can draw the line. And maybe it's 8.5 degrees. That Rav Tukhachinsky talks about, and then there'll also be different kehilos will have different minhagim of how much Tosefa Shabbos to have. We go to 42 minutes, we go to 52 minutes, we go to 60 minutes, but that's the background, the complexity of Zmanim. They ought to be pretty simple, but ultimately there's two definitions of Yom, and then superimposed on the ambiguity as to whether there are two Shkiyas or two Teis HaKochavim, when is the time of Bein HaShemashos, that 13 and a half minutes, or in some terminology or another, that 13 and a half minutes when it's actually Safek Yom, Safek Laila. I'm glad to stick around for questions, but you need to daven Ma'ariv? Thank you so much.
Why do we not shoot two questions?
Sure.
What is the Vilna Gaon do with the Gemara saying it's a shir, Hiluch Shloshes Mil? Shloshes Revi'im Mil. Like, what does he do with the walking part?
No, no.
How does it do with the walking time?
Shloshes Revi'im Mil.
Depending on a. How does he say that it's, instead of 13 and a half minutes, it really could depend on from where you are.
Great point. So he would say that we're talking about at 32 degrees north around the equinox, it's 13 and a half minutes. Pesach time in Yerushalayim,
at
13 and a half minutes. But if it would be a different time of the year in Yerushalayim, it would be more or less. And if you're going to go further north or further south, it's again going to vary. The Gemara is talking in that particular time and context, 13 and a half minutes, and now go to Yerushalayim, take a look at the sky, Pesach time, at 13 and a half minutes after Shkia. Now you know what you're looking for. And look for that. Again, remember, we're going about it back. Also, just like a history of science perspective. We're going about it backwards. Because we're trying to calculate to know what time to look at on our clocks. For the Tanam and Ram was much simpler. You knew, you looked at the sky, you knew what to look for. Do you see Kochavim? And they had a sense. Right. We're trying to quantify when do we expect to see this. But fundamentally, it's a question of look at the sky and see that. It's helpful to calculate if you have light pollution. It's helpful to calculate if you have a Yom HaMe'unan. The original light pollution was just, it's a cloudy night.
You could take the next step. Then there should be some periods where it's less than 13 and a half minutes.
Absolutely.
So why don't we ever do that? Why do
we see where you could.
I'm saying you should take it both ways.
Absolutely.
In
a harami, if you're further south, if you're closer.
You are, further south from
it. Absolutely.
Then it should be less
than true. Right.
So absolutely. In Australia, could
well,
be like.
No, closer to the equator. Right. If you get close to the equator, we experience it, that even we who do deal with light pollution, but we know that it gets dark much more quickly in Eretz Yisrael than it does here. That's shorter. That's why the 13 and a half minutes is relevant there. So in Nachanami, as you got close, it's not going to go to zero, but as you get even close to the equator, it will shrink even more. It still is going to take some time for the sun to get to that desired number of degrees below the horizon, but it'll be even quicker.
So that according to the Vilna Gaon, Shabbos should end about a half an hour. A half an hour after Shkia, you should be pretty set. The Shabbos has ended.
Correct. But the difference between...
Tosefa Shabbos.
The difference between Kriyat Shema and Tosafot, right. Shabbos, you have Tosafot Shabbos, which you don't have for Kriyat Shema.
So,
right. And there's an afford,
from a half hour out until wherever we end Shabbos, that's all Tosafot Shabbos time.
Most likely, although Tukachinsky's calculations give you a little bit more. So you get them to 8.5 degrees, so then already maybe you get, maybe it's not all, maybe the beyond 30 minutes is not only Tosafot Shabbos.
It's 30 minutes, it's talking in America, not in Israel. In Israel it's less.
Correct. Right?
Saying is in America, though, basically Shabbos is over like 30 minutes after Shkia, and the rest is basically Tekiah.
In an emergency, you would finish.
We end Shabbos a lot later than that.
And to, okay. So that's beautiful.
So that's really all just Tosafot Shabbos time, correct?
That's either Tosafot Shabbos time, beyond, in other words, six degrees below the horizon in at our latitude varies over the course of the year between 27 and 33 minutes after Shkia. So if you're convinced that Vilna Gaon is just 6 degrees or 5.95 degrees, so then anything past 33 minutes is Tosafot Shabbos. If you think that it's Tukachinsky, it could be a little more. If you think then again, they're also about time. There are more nuances and there are more tweaks, more dials to turn. The Balatanya and the Vilna Gaon have slightly different reads based on how you put all the Gemaras together. Should it be 4.5 degrees? Should it be 6 degrees? So you could go a little bit Lakan Ulakan. If you open up Leo Levy's Jewish Chronomy, his Manayom Bahalacha, so he has charts. He has a couple of tens of pages of essays, and then he has a couple hundred pages of charts for every latitude and for major cities throughout the globe. I should have brought it along. It's fascinating. Once he's going, he also throws in a whole bunch of other charts. Throw a cherry on the top. He gives you like the charts of how infrequently every single Haftarah appears. And like he once he's going with calendrical calculation, he goes.
But you can see,
and he gives you different definitions of tzeis. He'll give you the 4.5 degrees and the 6 degrees, and sometimes he'll do the 8.5 degrees also, and you can follow it. When you get very far from the equator, some of these zmanim start disappearing.